Bruce. Thank you, children. I invite everyone now to open your Bibles with me back to the book of Hebrews, again to chapter 12, New Testament book of Hebrews. Following, let's say, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, Hebrews. We'll begin reading at verse 1, but you'll remember, of course, we looked at the first two verses last week, so now we're going to consider verses 3 to 17. Verses 3 to 17, Hebrews chapter 12. Listen for what it is, the word of God to us. Therefore, since we are so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And now our text for this morning. Consider him, Jesus, consider him, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him or corrected by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us, that is, the earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he, that is God, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. So far from God's holy word. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this chapter, as we just read and remembering last week, began with this call to run a persevering race, following after Jesus Christ. And we talked about how the Christian life then requires endurance and willingness to drop our weights, which in some ways you can count as sort of distractions and things that turn us aside, drop our weights and drop our clinging sins we have to shed, to run the faster, to run better, to run well. What we most need, of course, then is to look to Jesus to persevere, to be like him who endured the greatest sorts of trials but did it joyfully. And he knew that what the goal was, ultimately glory and for him authority. And now we share that authority with him as he sits at God's right hand. That's the kind of inheritance, that's the kind of end that this race has. So with eyes on Jesus, believers will endure their troubles like discipline from a faithful heavenly Father, instead of a series of random disasters leading to destruction. We will endure, when we put our eyes on Jesus, Christians will endure their troubles like discipline from a loving, faithful, a good heavenly Father,
instead of a series of disasters that's breaking us down until we finally fall apart and die right there on the spot. That's not concise, I guess, but it's to the point of this text. We're always looking for brevity. How can we say this idea? Well, we're going to talk about Jesus, the Son's. We're going to talk about the Father's discipline, and we're going to talk about the Spirit's strength. Those three areas, I wanted to line them up with Trinitarian thinking. So the Son's endurance, the Father's discipline, the Spirit's strength. When we put our eyes on Jesus, we will know, we will mark, we will be challenged by His endurance on earth. When He came to be like us and to bear our burdens, His discipline will humble all of us. How do we know that that's true? Well, what the author says, he tells us that we will become faint-hearted unless we look to Jesus. And the remedy for that weakness, that faint-heartedness, is to look to Him. Because very often we over-inflate our trials. When we forget Jesus, when we forget the cross, we overinflate our hurts. When we are insulted and shamed, it's as if the world had fallen apart. It's almost shot. When we don't get respect, when self-control is hard and it hurts and it makes our side ache in the run, then in our gains, after all of that work, our gains in godliness seem so small. Then we're quick to throw in a towel. We're quick to say, I have to stop. I need to drink. I need something. We're frustrated and angry. Besides, we're faint-hearted. We have weakness. And in some ways, maybe other more skilled at us, and it's like the sports player who, what really happened was they got touched and they went to draw the foul. And it's like so many of us in the church have been hurt. And we're trying to draw the foul from anyone who will, from any number of other whistleblowers. When God is telling us, toughen up. When God has called us to endure, to persevere, to build muscle for spiritual life. And the way we do it, of course, is to look to the cross. Are we insulted by this passage? In some ways, we should be. We should be scandalized. That Jesus resisted death. So what He's telling us is, yeah, you got hurt. And He's not downplaying the fact that we will be hurt and persecuted, but, buck up, you're not dead. Keep going. As a matter of fact, He shed His blood and died on the cross. You have not yet gone to the point of shedding your blood. You can keep walking. So we may be the walking wounded at times, but we can keep going, according to the author, and we need to, and we're surrounded by witnesses who are saying, go, 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 don't stop. Don't let a cut. Stop from the race. Don't let a gut shot end it all for you. Keep going. At the cross, we see Jesus giving His life because of the love of the Father for us, and He joyfully endured and gave obedience. So it's time to change our perspective. A hangnail is not a deadly injury. A scratch is a scratch. It hurts, but it will heal. And so it is that we're in a world that's clawing at us, and there's a lot of resistance, and we're running, and it hurts. Remember Jesus, how they hated Him. How they wanted to bury Him as far under the ground as they could get Him. How they wanted Him to be forgotten, so much so that they guarded His tomb. They hated Him. He had no rest. He had no comfort. He had no respect. And when we join the race and our eyes are on Jesus, the one who is the one who marked it out, that's what it says, the founder or the author of this race, and the perfecter, so the finisher of it, as it were, He marked out the race. It's the Jesus race. Some of you have run into competitions, the Spartan race. This race is named for Jesus. It's the Christian life. You're in the Christian, Spartan spear-throwing competition. You're in that tough competition. Toughen up. It takes training. It takes discipline. If you try to run it after only eating Twinkies for months, you will fail. So you have to make a change. This is the Jesus race. He ran it. He finished it. He set you on it. And it was hard for him, who I was reading a book about Christian discipline, he talked about how ultimately Jesus was the most disciplined man that ever lived. How do we know? He gets surrounded by a band of thugs, for instance, in Gethsemane, and though he could call on the armies of heaven to come to his aid, he doesn't do it. Is it just when people spit on him and falsely accuse him? No. He's disciplined. He remains silent in the face of those accusations. He was the spotless Lamb of God, and so every evil visited on him in this life was for our sake, for God's glory, and he 100% did not deserve it. We can't say the same for ourselves, nor can we say that we have held our tongue and been to the point where we, you know, where we're let off to die. We can't say that. But he can, and he is the one for whom our race is named. So, the spotless Lamb of God never made mistakes in his word, never harbored envy or unrighteousness behind a veil of a smile, was never motivated by rivalry, as we admit and we confess we have been at different times for different reasons. And think about how he endured injustice to strengthen your heart, your morale as a church and as individual Christians. And we won't say when we look at Jesus, it's impossible for me to forgive. It's impossible for me to reconcile. It's impossible for me to carry on. We can't say it when we have our eyes fixed on Jesus. We can't. We're embarrassing ourselves if we can. We don't deserve him. And we don't deserve what he's done. It's a gift to us. And so we have to swear with the fact that he shed his blood for you and me, not so that we could say, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, this is never going to... That's not the race that we've been marked out for. If we don't daily meditate on this crucified Savior, we might be tempted to give up the race with a dry mouth. We might say, everything is against me. As a matter of fact, the world is against you. And so is the devil, and so is all of it telling you stop. All of it telling you turn the heat down. All of it telling you rest and decline. And there's no danger. When in fact, yes, everything is against you, but God is for you. God, Jesus is for you. His blood to wash you. We can go on. And we need to own Jesus every day. And remember the resistance, the hostility of this world against him and how he overcame the world so that we will be strengthened in our faith. Jesus, who endured all of that even to the point of death on a cruel cross, all the wrath of God, but knew that glory waited, that there was hope, and that it didn't end in the grave. And so he pushed through and now sits at God's right hand. And we will push through and we also will surround the throne of heaven. That is the reward and the prize. And it's not just, I get to go to a fun park. We will be with Jesus. That's really the reward of heaven. We will be with him. We will appreciate, we will know him, and he will know us. So eyes on Jesus, hearts to Jesus. Are you tired? I get tired, absolutely. But don't stop. Is your witness and your spiritual walk faint? The signal is barely there. Oh, I can't get any radio stations. There's nothing. I can't get any reception. Is your spiritual walk faint? And it's time to look to Christ. And it's time to draw from him our cue and our pace. It's time to take heart. It's time to act on our calling. To follow him. Not to say, well, maybe, but to follow, to obey, to go. It's time to honor him above expectations. It's time to say that, yes, I can afford the cost. I can afford the cost in time, in money, in career, in reputation. I can grapple against sins and put them to death. God gives the blood of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus for this purpose. Do you feel the burn? I feel it. You feel the pressure of it? There is pressure for anyone who's paying attention. And we're supposed to hear that and see that and feel it. And instead of quitting, say, it's okay. Exercise hurts, and that's okay. In fact, it's healthy. Being a Christian hurts. And We don't shun pain any more than Jesus turned away from the cross. Do others mock you while you struggle? Doesn't that make it bitter? They mock you. They point out your inconsistencies. You said blah, 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 you know, at work last week, and now here you are doing the thing. You know, they mock you for it. They point out every little thing that you said or did. Husbands and wives, are you doing this to each other? Tearing each other to pieces? Be aware. Be aware. Others mock us while we try to apply our faith. They call us hypocrites, inconsistent. It hurts. It hurts, but you won't die. You didn't die. You can keep going. Are you embarrassed by what might happen if you own Jesus before your friends and neighbors and co-workers? God will be with you through your embarrassment, but you won't die. You'll live. Through some shame, through some low days, He will, through some friendless times, through some lonely times, but He will teach you endurance. It is for discipline that you have to endure. What does that mean? You have to keep going, and only by keeping on going, day after day after day, with our eyes on Jesus, will we develop discipline. Discipline can't be had now. Discipline can only be had through endurance. That's something to think about hard, something to meditate on. God will be with us, and He will give us discipline through endurance. And we'll realize that our muscles, out muscles now. Muscles are later, after a lot of horrible things, to get them. And eating horrible things besides, that I'm not sure I want to eat. Good thing I already have muscles. Anyways, this is where He's going, right? We will recognize that we are not orphans. We are not left alone. We are beloved children of God who receive the Father's discipline. That's what we are. That's the identity for those who believe in Jesus Christ. They are adopted sons and daughters with a firstborn brother. Last week, we talked about how Christians often fail to remember they're in a race. You know, running the race, and nope, now he turns aside and he's sitting down at a restaurant ordering a sandwich. This is the race, remember? He's running a race, and we talked about silly, I don't know, Brad, if you listened, I told him that I mentioned him, you know, running in his scuba gear, not the best idea. Why are we wearing this stuff that has nothing to do with the race? We talked about, I put on all of my winter coats. What if I need all five on the race? You don't need them. Shed them. Take them all off. Drop your burdens and your weights. Drop your sins. We need a perspective shift. And God warns us here, now in a new thought, but a similar mindset. He warns us that our struggles are not disconnected and at random. God uses them as lessons for His sons and daughters. They are handcrafted personal lessons from the Father in heaven to you that teaches you how to get discipline through endurance. Sometimes we prefer that they were just random events that had no meaning so that we didn't have to build character. But that's not what we read here. Our struggles are not disconnected. We believe we are, and we cannot spend eternity with God if He is not, in fact, our Father. We believe and we desire to be children of God. Yet here, we're told that we're quick to forget. So we're quick to say, I have no family. You know, Dad who? Mom who? I have no commitments, no connections, no brothers and sisters in the church. No one can tell me anything, and I don't tell them anything. Isn't that the way that this culture is going? You can't tell me anything, I can't tell you. It has nothing to do with being in the family of God. In our immaturity, we forget our Father's exhortation. In our immaturity, we can't see what profit there could possibly be in suffering. Nor can we perceive God's love for us in trials. This isn't limited to young people. This is all of us. You know, I was thinking about as I wrote this sermon about how hard it was to get in and out of a bathtub when my leg was broken. I'm like, really? You know, I'm talking with God. Well, like, really? This is what I, you know, I struggle with this? this is not where I want to be. This is not what I want to be doing. And instead, it takes me 20 minutes to do anything, where before it was done in a flash. God uses these things. We can't see the benefit of them. At the time, they don't seem pleasant, but painful. But later, they produce something. But God has the plan. We often don't understand it. We have to learn and submit to this God who is teaching us endurance to get discipline, dependence to get discipline, submission to get discipline. We're daily guided by Him, daily corrected by Him. If we believe we are His children, then we will submit to Him. We'll learn from Him. We'll see Him all the time in all of these things that we have to endure. And yet we've so easily forgotten. If you are angry constantly, if you are bitter constantly, if you are always upset and never settled or content, could it be that you have forgotten that you have a Father? Could it be that you have somehow forgotten that He is there and that He is changing you and working on you, that He loves you? And doesn't our anger expose that we don't believe He's really involved? Like, God, you don't even see. I'm dealing with this, and what are you doing? Watching TV or whatever? That's what our earthly fathers did. Some of them, anyways. But not this Heavenly Father. So, it's no wonder that the prosperity gospel, for instance, was born in America. It's a Father who only gives and never disciplines. That's the God of prosperity, right? God, give me more. God, it's all about getting from Him the keys to the car. It's all about getting from Him the things we want. It's the Father who always gives and never really disciplines. We can gain the faith without sacrificing any of the fun. We want the fun dad with no mention of obedience to dad. No mention of character building, perseverance. But God the Father wants us to be strengthened in our minds, strengthened in our hearts, strengthened in our bodies, to achieve discipline. And He shows that we belong to Him when He disciplines us. We recognize our earthly fathers, and it's the very simple, the lesser to the greater. You had an earthly father, they didn't do everything perfectly, but you respected them. And how much more your Father who is in heaven? How much more? Because He does everything well. He does everything good. He does everything for your good and for my good. We recognize our earthly fathers, but we fail to recognize our Heavenly Father's influence. And He wants us to learn to make peace with everyone. That's what He wants to teach you. How's the lesson going? He wants you to learn to make peace at all costs. How's the lesson going? He wants us to pay attention to His ways. Otherwise, we're strangers. We're illegitimate children. We're not part of the family. We're just some kid. Kid, what are you doing at my dinner table? I don't even know you. What, you know, I live in a neighborhood where maybe that was possible. Like, who's this kid showing up for dinner? You know, oh, I'm from five houses. Go home. It's dinner time. This isn't your house. He wants us to learn to be holy. Learn to be holy all the time, because He is holy. Holy like we studied, learned, and took pride in, you know, getting good at our jobs or pursuing our degree. Do you have a degree in holiness? How about even like a 1 week certificate in holiness achieved? He wants us to pursue holiness like it is our career, like it is our degree, like it is a priority that cannot wait. He wants us to avoid bitterness from springing up in our hearts by understanding that His lessons and His work is going on in the midst of the church. Bitterness springing up here or there? Am I harboring bitterness in my heart? It's because I'm forgetting that God is directing, that God is in control. He wants us to treat His word, His commands, His blessings, ultimately our relationship and covenant with Him. He wants us to treat these things as valuable as our treasure instead of being like Esau, who was like, I'll trade it for a bowl of soup. That's the, you know, Esau, the mentality, it's depicted here as a tragedy. Then later he realized the foolishness of what he had done, but there was no remedying at that point because he did not build discipline. He lived this in such a way that showed where his priorities were until it consumed him in tragedy. We're not making these up. All of these are the very things we're called to be and to do. These are the direct applications coming in this last section. So our family issues are clear. What's the father doing? What are we, the children, supposed to be doing? We've got issues in our family, and we need to begin to work out these issues through endurance for discipline. As immature and undisciplined Christians, we can't see how it could be to our benefit to follow God's ways if the immediate results don't make us happy, don't make us feel loved, feel important, feel richer or better than yesterday. You can hear the ring of sort of the prosperity gospel there. I want my best life now. That's sort of the mantra, right, of prosperity. Well, if you personally don't feel right now fulfilled, right now fully happy, fully loved, important, rich, affirmed, if you don't feel better than yesterday, toughen up. It's, in some places in the Bible, we see how that's balanced, the tender care and love of the Father. But in other places, God is a real dad. Get out and be my children in the world and learn something valuable. If you don't feel affirmed, do we turn around and blame everyone around? You're not affirming me. What is this? This is the entitlement of our culture that has washed into the church like a flood. I deserve to be loved and wealthy and hailed by all as the best and I always should be feeling better than yesterday. That's not the Christian life. Where in the world did that come from? Oh, it came from the world, not from heaven, not from Jesus who sits on the throne. It's okay if you're not happy. In the immediate sense, ultimately Jesus had joy, and he offers to you and to me joy that can never be taken away by anyone. However, in terms of how you feel, and in terms of your day-to-day, if you don't feel happy, it's okay. It burns, but you'll live. If you don't feel loved by everyone and generally affirmed, that's okay. It hurts, but you'll live. If you don't feel rich, powerful, important, it's okay. You'll live. Learn discipline. Learn discipline. If the life in this world is just about getting things now, my pride and what's mine, what belongs to me, my pleasure, then discipline has no use after all. Why would we ever endure until we achieve what God calls discipline in the faith, in the race? Then discipline is useless because it's not immediately available to us. It's further down the pipe. But if it's about honoring and following Jesus, then discipline makes sense. Because like we read in 1 Timothy 4, it has benefit not only for today, but for eternity, for the future. So these daily challenges that we have, whether or not anyone else sees it, the Christian has to see, this is about more than money. It's about more than your reputation. It's about more than how you feel. It's about more than a spat between a couple of people in the church or friends or sisters or brothers. It's about more than that. That is to say, all of it is important in its own way. It's all significant for your life. None of it is to be downplayed like, oh, you know, you have a cut. Well, a little cut still needs a Band-Aid or whatever. Still, you take care of it. Don't get it infected. But you're not going to die. It's about, there's more going on than just this one thing, just right now. Put it in perspective. Put it in heavenly perspective. Put it in reference to the cross of Jesus. That's what we read here. Consider him. And then remember where it belongs in the spectrum of life. Those who have the Holy Spirit will adopt that Christian family mindset. And they will see life as a daily interaction with their God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Eyes on Jesus, Spirit enabling, Father sort of initiating, or Father setting the, you know, setting the playing field for how our lives are going to go. Those who have the Holy Spirit will adopt the Christian family mindset. The Father and Son and Spirit all working together. The Spirit particularly guiding us into all truth, to help us in the way of sonship after Jesus, and to bring holy fruits to harvest, like it says here, yielding the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by God's discipline. So he'll bring those fruits to harvest. We have to take on a perspective of the Christian life that longs for mature fruit, peaceful fruit of righteousness. I don't want to eat my green tomatoes. They'll get, you know, their color a little longer. A little longer. We want the peaceful fruits of righteousness to mature in us. Have you trained yourself to see that God can work peace and righteousness and spiritual truth through your hurts that you are hurting right now, that ache in your side, and that bother you in the back of your mind even while you're listening to a sermon? Have you learned that those are not to destroy you, but they are instead for discipline? Christians have to think differently about our injuries, our medical troubles, our loss of job, our financial hardships, our divorces and single parenting, betrayals, insults, being a spouse to someone who does not believe, and the lack of like-mindedness that often comes with it. Being those who see things differently in our parenting hardships and in hatred and resentment from those who should love us or care about us. Loss of children, want of a spouse, the want of a family, the want of a new job, the want of different circumstances. We have to think differently and remember. Our functional day-to-day attitude screams, this thing that I'm dealing with, this situation, or this has no value. This back and forth with this person, whatever it may be, our attitude screams, this has no value. This is not from my Father. This has nothing to do with my faith. That's just not true. It's a distraction, or it's a misunderstanding of the Word of God. It has everything to do with your discipline. God wants me, we would say, you know, God only wants me to get out of this situation as quickly as possible, because this is the sidetrack from my real work, you know, the real mission. This can't be the fight of faith for me. And it's the child treating God's lessons, God's reproofs, God's discipline as hurt rather than love. And we can see how this leads to serious disrespect for our Father, serious dishonor for him and for all the authorities that he set in place. I can't submit to authority. God would never teach me through, you know, broken Pastor Drew. He would never teach me through this elder. I know what he's done. He would never teach me through, you know, the authorities of our, you know, all our government. He would never reprove me through them. They're not worthy. God used, throughout history, he used the horrible, you know, Assyrians, the horrible Babylonians, and he told the prophets, I'm using them as my instrument to mill out the righteousness of my people. He can use them, the bloodthirsty, dashing infants on the rocks, horrible Assyrians. He can use anyone and everything to discipline us. Just like men in Jesus' day, especially the disciples, could not conceive that God would send the Messiah only to die on a cruel cross. How does that make sense? They couldn't conceive of the idea that God would send his Son only to be crucified like a criminal. You know, for them, it proved that, you know, none of this was worth anything. But we have understood, and God has shown us through his Word and by the power of his Spirit, that when we keep our eyes on the cross, we'll know exactly the way God operates. That through suffering and even to death itself, God can bring us back and renew our youth, renew our strength like the eagle, it says in Psalm 103. This is the fight of faith. You're in it right now. You're in the race. You're in the Jesus race. The whole Bible is filled with such things. Joseph goes to the lowest place, the pit of jail, to the highest place. Daniel is led away in chains. And he's a slave, and then he becomes, again, you know, the highest of the high. David is chased into the wilderness and brought back to be the king. God is able to do these glorious things, and all of it shows the cross. All of it shows his mode of operation. And it is for us. It is for you. It is for me. And we can have assurance and even joy. This is the life of a child of God. This is the life with God, the great Father. So the Spirit will help us on the race, our drooping hands, our weak knees. The Spirit will help us when we're almost chins to the floor. He will help us get the proper form, shape us like to be like Jesus. All of this work won't lead to breakdown and our bodies falling apart. Anybody who exercises out of shape, into shape, you know, things that don't, when you exercise, it feels like you're going to fall apart, but then things that were out of joint, they start to come together. And your muscles and everything start to work together, and instead of fighting you, they help you all the more. All this work won't lead to breakdown, rather to healing. Striving for peace and getting serious resistance. And trying again. Striving to see the Lord through holy living and getting insulted and getting mocked for it. But you won't die. You will see the Lord through holiness. Obtaining grace and opposing bitter thinking and bitter words and getting bit and sniffed at while we do so. But we won't die. God will help us. Cutting off sexual immorality, will be mocked and will in every way, everyone else will seek out and get all the things that they think they need and want. And they'll look at us like we're idiots for not going with them. God will bless us, denying our selfish cravings like Esau. Look to Jesus. Eyes on Jesus. Strengthen your knees, your arms, your faint hearts. Look to Jesus. Imitate him. Ask your Father to help you. Fill you with his Spirit for every day of the race going forward. Amen. Our Father in heaven, Lord, give us endurance. Lord, give us strong faith. Lord, give us depth like we've never had before, so that the things that we know are true of Jesus, but we have been afraid to put to practice, would start to grow and develop and finally mature and flower in our lives. Lord, may it be true of our worship, may it be true of our prayer, may it be true of all the ways that we treat your command, as we put your love to practice in them and seek peace and hope and grace. Lord, we repent of our lack of depth, our rootlessness, our shallowness. We repent of our selfishness and how we've gone our own way, our lack of depth, our unwillingness to pursue holiness. Lord, we pray that you would set us on the path to righteousness and give us the fruits of righteousness. Lord, because these are gifts that come from you. And we know, Lord, that they have been bought at the price of the blood of Jesus. Hear us in his name. Amen. Amen.